present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, based on the novel by Henry Cecil and starring Richard Briers with John Glyn Jones, Bridget Armstrong, Jean Anderson, and featuring Robin Hunter as Mr. Bunthorpe and Francis DeWolf as the judge. Episode 12, A Piece of Cake.
What do you say, Mr. Thursby?
Well, Your Honor, with great respect...
Well, you can cut that out for a start.
Oh, I'm very sorry, Your Honor.
Mr. Thursby, I said cut out the trimmings. I want to know about your defense.
Well, first of all, I ask you to believe the witnesses called on behalf of the defendant.
No, I don't.
Well, that puts me rather a difficulty, Your Honor.
Some difficulties can be overcome.
But then I submit to Your Honor...
I didn't say they could be overcome in this case.
Well, I hope Your Honor will listen to me.
No, I've got to.
Well, Your Honor, the plaintiffs say that my clients, the defendants, played their radio and television and record player too loud.
So they did.
But they're entitled to play their radio and television.
Not too loud.
Ah, but what is too loud?
The way your clients were playing.
Well, isn't that rather a matter of opinion, Your Honor? I mean, doesn't it depend upon the ear of the listener?
In this case, my ear, Mr. Thursby. You know that I went and listened for myself.
We're most grateful to Your Honor.
You were nothing of the sort. If I hadn't gone, I might have accepted the evidence of your clients.
Well, Your Honor, my clients have been playing the radio and television and record player at the same strength for nearly a year. And if it had been too loud, surely people would have complained before.
People don't like complaining. But I must say it's surprising that no one did complain before.
Ah, but Your Honor only says that because you found the noise too loud.
You can say that again.
But because Your Honor found the noise too loud.
I did. Intolerably loud.
Well, forgive me asking, Your Honor, but have you ever had your ears tested?
Certainly not.
Well, then how does Your Honor know that they're not more sensitive than other people's ears?
Because I'm 63 years old, and as a result of my experience of being brought up in one family and bringing up another, and practicing at the bar, and presiding in court, I can tell for myself that my ears are much the same as anybody else's. I'm neither deaf nor oversensitive.
So Your Honor is going to decide this case on your own evidence?
That's right.
But I haven't called you as a witness, nor has my learned opponent. I suggest that you're not entitled to do that.
You and your opponent asked me if I would go down to the house and listen to the noise.
We did.
What was the point? Unless I could take some notice of what I heard.
Well, I'm not objecting to Your Honor taking some notice.
Well, that's very decent of you. What are you objecting to?
Well, what I'm objecting to is you're disregarding the evidence of all the defendant's witnesses in favor of your own.
The point you're raising is that the judge is not entitled to disregard the evidence of witnesses just because his own ears tell him that they're grossly exaggerated. Is that your point?
I suppose it is, Your Honor.
Well, it's a bad one. What's the next point?
My next point is, as a matter of discretion, you shouldn't make an order against the defendant not to play the radio so loud or the television.
That is the exact order that I am going to make. Thank you for putting it so shortly.
But if my clients break the order, they'll be liable to go to prison.
If they break the order, they'll not only be liable to go to prison, they'll go there. There'll be no mistake about that.
Well, it seems awful to go to prison just for playing a record player too loud.
They'll be going to prison for disobeying my order.
Well, it'll seem the same thing to them, Your Honor.
Well, they can work out the difference while they're in prison. Have you anything else to say, Mr. Thursby?
Well, it doesn't seem much use, Your Honor.
No, it isn't. In this case, the plaintiff complains that the defendants have made life intolerable for him by their use of radio and television. Radio and television are no doubt great boons to mankind, but they can be greatly abused, and they have been in this case. I should like it to be publicly known that in the area of this county court, people who make too much noise will be ordered to stop it. And if they don't stop it, they'll go to prison. Now, the facts in this case are as follows. The plaintiff came to live in Downside Road about a year after the death.
What did you say?
What did you say?
I can't hear.
So can I.
What did you say?
So can I.
So can I.
So can you what?
What? Hear what you said.
Oh, darling, you haven't got hay fever again, have you?
Hay fever?
Do you remember the last time you had an attack, you went quite deaf, to too.
I am not deaf.
But she said you couldn't hear me.
Well, Mother, I can hear you now, can't I? I couldn't while that awful noise was going on.
Oh, you shouldn't call it that, Roger. It's some neighbors.
But I don't care what it was. It's intolerable. It's got to be stopped.
I don't see how you can stop people playing music.
Radio and television are no doubt great boons to mankind, but they can be greatly abused.
Why are you talking in that funny way?
What do you mean, funny way? A mild case of Crabtree. Look, who are they, anyway?
Who?
The noise. Where's it coming from?
Oh, the music. Oh, it's the new people who've just moved next door.
Well, if they don't abate the nuisance, they'll be moving again in a minute.
Hardly think so, Roger.
Take it from me, Mother, take it from me. They'll be moving to one of Her Majesty's prisons. One of the less well-appointed ones, I hope.
Darling, you are fierce today. Well, prison? Because they've forgotten to turn the volume down.
Forgotten?
Well, Mrs. Brady told me they used to live next door to London Airport. So they had to keep it full up to compete with the aeroplanes. And I think they just got used to it.
Well, they can't expect other people to get used to it.
Why didn't you
ask them to go and turn it down?
Well, I did try, but they couldn't hear the bell or the knocker. Don't worry, Roger. I'm sure they'll soon adjust to the peace and quiet of this neighborhood.
Yes, I see what you mean. Well, I expect you're right. Give them a chance to settle down.
Oh, darling, you do look tired. Did you have a bad day in court?
No, same as usual. I lost my case.
What was it?
Well, as a matter of fact, funny enough, it was some people like our new neighbors who've been playing their record player too loud.
Oh, no wonder you were so upset. You were trying to get them stopped and you failed.
No, Mother, I've been trying to let them go on and I failed.
Poor Roger. It must be very difficult for you always having to face both ways at the same time.
Well, Mother, I'm not a contortionist.
Well, perhaps not at the same time, but, well, you know what I mean. Well, like with the girls. One minute it's joy, and the next minute it's fairy.
It's not joy at any minute. It's purely on business, and I wish you'd get that into your head.
It doesn't seem to be fairy either at the moment, does it? Or have you heard from her?
No, not a word. I can't understand it. I've been writing to her, ringing her up, but she doesn't answer letters, and she's never in.
She rang me today.
She did? When? Well, why didn't you tell me? What did she say? Was she going back to London? Why hasn't she written?
Which?
What?
Which question shall I answer first?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, what did she say?
Well, I couldn't hear much. They were playing the Ride of the Valkyries or something. Really putting those aeroplanes in their place.
But Mother, you must have heard some of it or you wouldn't have known who was ringing.
But darling, how clever you are. What it is to have a legal training.
Yes. Yes, a judge did once mention my impeccable logic.
I'm not surprised.
I was absolutely astonished.
You're too modest, Roger.
Yes, I suppose I do underrate my own abilities.
Well, of course you do, darling. Now, I'm going to get some supper. Why don't you sit down and relax and rest your brain?
My what? Oh, brain, yes. Yes, you're right. That's a very good advice. Yes, I should rest my brain. It's only fair to my client. I'll put on a telly, that'll rest it.
Yes, darling, do, but not too loud.
That's what I would. Mother, come back. You diddle me.
Roger.
You're evading the issue. I asked you a question.
Did you?
You know very well, I did. What did Sally say when she rang up? And don't try and fob me off with the bits you didn't hear.
Well, apart from the Ride of the Valkyries, it wasn't a very good line.
Mother, don't prevaricate.
How could you say that to your own mother?
Well, I beg your pardon. Don't equivocate.
Well, that's different.
It isn't exactly the same.
Well, but I can't help it. It still wasn't a good line.
But you knew it was Sally. You could hear her voice.
Yes, very upset she sounded.
Upset?
Cross.
Cross with me?
With you. Absolutely furious.
Well, why? For heaven's sake, why?
Well, she seemed to have found out that you spent a couple of evenings with Joy on Hampstead Heath.
No.
But you did. You know you did.
Well, I know I did. But how does Sally know?
I can only think of one answer to that.
Yes?
Someone told her.
Impossible. It was Joy!
Oh, I don't think Joy would have...
It must have been. Who else? This is the end. I shall never see Joy again. I'll never speak to her again. I shall never accept another brief from her uncle.
Oh, then why are you ringing her up?
I'm not. I'm ringing Sally.
She's never in.
Well, she's got to be this time. I've got to get this cleared up once and for all. It's ridiculous. Hello? Hello? Yeah, look, can I speak to Miss Sally Mannering, please? Oh, she can't be, but she's always out. Well, will you give her a message then? Right, yeah, well, it's Roger Thursby, yes. Yes, her fiancé. Well, of course she's got a fiancé. I'm it. I'm him. I am he. What? Oh, the message. Yes, the message, yes. Well, look, tell her it's not true. Whatever she may have heard about that blasted heap. Hampstead, not Edward. What do you say?
What? I can't. Look, sorry, look, it's no good. I can't hear. For the mother of heaven's sake, do something. Make them stop.
What?
What?
Say that again.
I said what?
So did I.
This is impossible. Hello, hello. Look, I'll ring you back later. All right, mother, this is it. I'm going to put a stop to this.
What do you think you're doing hurling rock through my window?
I wasn't. I was tossing pebbles.
What do you call this, then?
A pebble.
A rock.
A small stone.
A large stone.
If you keep your window shut, I wouldn't
have... If the window had been shut, you'd have broken it.
If the window had been shut, there wouldn't have been so much noise. So if you want to play that machine, keep your window closed.
If I keep the window closed, it'll be too hot.
If you keep it open, it'll be too loud.
Who for?
My mother. She can't live with that infernal noise.
Then she can move somewhere else. I can recommend a good estate agent.
She doesn't want to live anywhere else, nor do I.
Then you have to put up with it.
You didn't put up with the aeroplanes.
What aeroplane?
Well, you lived next door to an airport, didn't you? Who told you that? Mrs. Brady told my mother you moved here from Heathrow.
Heathfield, not Heathrow. Wouldn't catch me living near an airport. I like a bit of peace and quiet.
But why do you play that thing so loud?
Because my mother's deaf.
I'm not surprised.
Oh.
I mean, look, let's be reasonable. I mean, couldn't she have an earphone or something?
How would you like to have a plastic plug in your ear all the time?
Well, I never tried.
Well, then don't talk about something you know nothing about.
But look, if she's deaf, she can't hear it at all, can she?
She's not stone deaf.
But surely you could turn it down a little.
Well, if I did, she couldn't hear it when she was in the kitchen.
Oh, look, I tell you what. Suppose I gave you an extension speaker. Would that help?
I don't take gifts from strangers.
Well, perhaps your mother would accept it.
She doesn't either. She was very strictly brought up.
Was she brought up to love her neighbour as herself?
It depends on the neighbour.
The neighbour is my mother. She's been here for years, and this has never happened before.
I'm glad you've got a mother, too. You know, you should understand. You want her to be happy, don't you?
Yes, of course I do. That's why I'm here. Because you go mad if this noise continues.
Well, some people are happy when they're mad.
Not my mother.
How do you know? Has she ever been mad before?
Certainly not.
But don't talk about something you know nothing about.
You said that before.
You did it before.
We don't seem to be getting anywhere.
That's right.
Have you anything against my mother?
Yes.
What?
You.
I'm only trying to protect my mother like you are.
What's that got to do with it?
It means we're both in the same boat.
Hag-ridden, you mean.
How dare you call my mother a hag?
Well, you said it first.
What? I said nothing of the kind. Now, look here. Are you going to stop this noise or not?
You'd like a straight answer?
Yes, I would.
No.
I should go to the police.
You can't. Unless you find more people to complain as well. You need three. Somebody told me you were a lawyer, but obviously you're not.
I'm a barrister, as a matter of fact.
Well, you can't have been one very long, or you'd know you can't bring in the police unless there are three of you.
I should go to the house next door.
It's empty.
I should try the house opposite.
They like it.
Well, I'll do something about it.
Yes, Sue.
It's illegal to make all that noise. It's a nuisance.
So are you. Go away.
You shall hear more of this.
And you shall hear more of this.
What? What's your name?
Bumthorpe.
B-U-M-T-H-O-R-P-E.
What's your Christian name?
I'm Mr. Bumthorpe to you.
Good morning, Mother.
Oh, Roger, there you are.
Yes, I couldn't say good morning to you at home through all that noise, so I thought I'd ring it up from Chambers and tell you.
It's stopped now.
Oh, thank heaven for that. Now, listen, Mother, I'm going to deal with these Bunthorpes. I'll try and get Grimes to act for you. I don't suppose he will, but there's no harm in asking him.
To act for me, Roger? What do you mean?
The only language these people can understand is a summons.
Do you mean we're going through the court?
We are, but don't you worry about it. It's where we score. I know all about it.
Wouldn't it be better to settle it all in a friendly way? After all, they are our neighbours.
I've tried that, Mother. It's no good with that type. Thanks to my experience at the bar, I understand people. And Bunthorpe is a bully. And the only thing bullies understand is a strong arm. In this case, of the law. I wouldn't like to be in Mr. Bunthorpe's shoes.
I must say, I don't like the idea of being in court, Roger. We've never done such a thing before.
But believe me, Mother, I know what I'm talking about. It will be in the local county court, and I happen to know that the judge there can't stand noise, so it'll be a piece of cake.
What did you say, Roger? What will it be?
A piece of cake.
Oh, well, I suppose you know best.
I do. Now, don't you worry, Mother. Keep your earplugs in. It won't be long now. Mr. Bunthorpe is going to learn a lesson. So I'll teach him. Bye for now.
Why don't you teach me instead, Roger?
Joy, who let you in?
Alec, of course.
Then he let you out again.
But I brought another brief for my uncle.
You have? Marvel. No, I won't do it.
Darling, you can't refuse.
I can. I don't care about etiquette. I don't care about anything. If accepting briefs from your uncle means seeing you, I won't accept them. Good day to you, Miss Medivell.
Oh, darling. You are sweet when you're cross.
Excuse me, sir?
An angel.
Really?
Adorable. Irresistible. Give me a kiss.
Yes, of course. No! 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 You don't understand. It's finished. Over. Done with.
What is?
Kissing, canoodling, all that.
All of it?
All of it. From now on, there will be no further contact between you and me.
When you say contact, you mean like this?
Yes. Yes, like that. Oh. Will you go away? Don't touch me. I mean no further contact of any kind.
I'll miss it.
So will I. No, look, Victoria. Why do you always get me mixed up?
It's not so much mixed up as worked up, isn't it?
Look, whatever it is, it's over. Please go away and never come back.
All right, Roger. But won't you please tell me why?
Because of what you did.
What are you talking about?
Hampstead Heath.
Oh, that. So you did it too, Roger.
Never mind what I did.
But I do mind, darling. I loved it.
That is neither here nor there.
It was there. And it could be here. If only you...
Joy, you know very well what I'm talking about.
I thought I did. I'm not too sure now.
I'm talking about you telling Sally about Hampstead Heath.
I didn't.
You must have.
I don't even know her address.
I told you she was in Scotland.
And you just write to Miss Sally Mannering, Scotland, and that finds her.
Oh, yeah, well, you might have asked someone.
Asked who? All I know is she's gone to stay with a rich uncle, and she'll probably come back with enough loot to push you into marrying her in a hurry.
Push?
Push, press, urge, spur, prod, goad, nag.
Nag?
Bribe, if you prefer it.
You like your uncle trying to bribe me to marry you?
Something like that.
And that's why you told her about Hampstead Heath?
I didn't. I swear I didn't. I wouldn't lie to you, Roger.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, I might. Well, I'm not at the moment. I wouldn't be such a fool as to tell Sally that. If I had, you'd never have trusted me again.
But then how did she find out?
Perhaps she hired a private detective.
Bunthorpe.
What did you say?
Bunthorpe. The chap who bought the house next door to us. He's just moved in.
Wouldn't that be a bit expensive?
What?
Buying a house for a private detective. Or even a friend just to keep an eye on you for a few weeks.
Yes, perhaps, yes. Mm. On the other hand, Bunthorpe's he's extremely aggressive and offensive. In fact, I'm going to... Joy, what a good thing you're here.
It is, isn't it? Are you going to kiss me now?
No. I'm going to instruct you.
Bless. What would you like me to do, Roger? You know you've only to ask.
Please. I'm going to instruct you as a solicitor. Or rather, I'm going to instruct your uncle's firm.
Only that? Never mind. It means you'll have to see me a lot, won't you?
Purely as a matter of business.
Of course. Like Hampstead Heath.
Not by that at all.
But we can do our business sitting next to each other, can't we?
Certainly not. You must sit on the other side of my desk, like all my clients do.
But you're the client now, aren't you, Roger?
That doesn't make any difference.
Never mind. If you put your legs a little further forward, I can reach them with mine.
Please, you behave yourself. This is not the way a solicitor receiving instructions from her client behaves.
Have you ever seen a solicitor receiving instructions from a client?
No, I can't say that I have.
And how do you know?
I don't. But it's not going to happen this time. Now listen carefully, Joy. I want your uncle's firm, you know, Fulton Merrivale, to write a letter to Mr. Bunthorpe and his mother, Mrs. Bunthorpe, complaining of nuisance by noise and requiring them to abate the nuisance.
To what?
To abate the nuisance.
What does that mean?
To stop it.
Wouldn't it be better to say so? Then they might understand.
No, don't quibble about words. I'm warning them that if they don't stop the nuisance within 48 hours, a summons will be issued without further notice. He doesn't think I'm a lawyer, doesn't he?
Who doesn't think you're a lawyer?
What? Mr. Bunthorpe. He's going to be very sorry for the way he spoke to me this morning. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Grimes would act for Mother? I don't suppose the Bunthorpes will have a counsel at all. If they do, only somebody like me, I suppose. Yes. They were said unearthly. I think I don't see Grimes now.
But I'm still here.
Yes, so you are. Goodbye, Joy. Alec will see you out.
Oh, Roger, you are sweet. I adore you.
Well, of course you do. You can't help it. What about... Excuse me. I must catch Grimes before while he's here.
Kermit. Oh. Hello, my dear fella. What can I do for you today?
I hope you don't mind my asking, Grimes. Do you ever go to the county court?
No, I don't, my dear fella, in the ordinary way. I suppose if one of the big tobacco companies offered me 1,000 guineas to fight a test case for them there, I'd go, my dear fella.
Oh, so you want 1,000 guineas, would you, to go to the county court?
Well, I can afford it, my dear. It all come off tax anyway.
You mean you wouldn't go for less than 1,000 guineas?
Leave it to Eric, my dear fella.
But if a client of yours very much wanted you to go to the county court, what's the least you think Alec would charge?
The least? 250, I suppose. It's a nuisance, you know, going to the county court. It may be a long way away.
Well, suppose it was fairly near.
Well, you still got to get there. Alec's got to bring the robes along and the books that are necessary. Oh, it's all a confounding nuisance, William Miller. I stopped going to county court some years ago.
And you wouldn't go for less than 250?
Couldn't think so, my dear fellow.
That's a pity. We can't afford that.
What do you mean?
Well, my mother's got a case.
Oh, I'm sorry. My dear fellow, what's she been up to?
It's the next-door neighbours, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wouldn't have believed him. Your mother been slotting the next-door neighbours?
No, it's the other way round.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry to hear. Is she badly hurt?
No, right, it's noise, as a matter of fact. They play the record player too loud.
Well, ask them not to.
I have. He played it louder than ever.
When's the case coming on me?
Well, we haven't actually issued a summons yet.
Oh, my dear fellow, from the way you were speaking, I was coming on this afternoon sometime. Well, if I were free, my dear fellow, I'd heck your mother with pleasure. A charming woman, if I may say so.
Were you really, Grimes?
Yes, of course, and I wouldn't let Alec charge her a penny. It'd be a privilege, my dear chap, to appear for your mother.
That's wonderful of you, Grimes. I can't tell you how grateful I am.
That's all right, my dear. That's all right. Now, you just get your solicitors to try and fix a day when I'm free. There aren't many, I'm afraid. But before you issue your summons, I'd have another go at trying to settle it. You may have got him in a bad mood. Be gentle with him, my dear fella. Be gentle.
Gentle? Right. Thank you very much, Grant. I'll try. I will. I'll call on him again. Now, I must be gentle. Gentle. Gentle, I said. Mr. Bunthorpe?
Oh, it's you again.
I wonder if I might come in and have a word with you.
What about?
The record player.
It's being repaired at the moment.
But when it's repaired, will you be playing it as loudly as ever?
We shall be playing it exactly as we want.
I couldn't come in for a moment, I suppose. Could I have a little chat?
Anything you want to say can be said here.
Well, Mr. Bunthorpe, I mentioned to you the last time we met that I was a barrister.
Then why say it again?
I wouldn't want to take advantage of your being a layman.
What do you mean, a layman? I'm an engineer.
What I meant was that you're not a lawyer.
Thank God.
But I am, and I happen to know a bit about the law.
A pretty small bit, if I may say so.
Look, you can say what you like. But I was in the local county court a few days ago, and there was a case about noise.
You've got noise on the brain.
So is the judge. He doesn't like people playing their radios too loud.
Then you better go and live next door to him.
Please, look. I just wanted to give you a gentle warning. If you or your mother play your record player as loud as it's been played the other day and won't turn it down, my mother will take you to the county court.
Shall I tell you where you can take your mother?
Mr. Bunthorpe, please. It'll be no use your saying I didn't warn you. My mother will employ solicitors and one of the ablest counsel in the country, and we'll ask the local judge for an order that you keep the sound of your record player down to a reasonable level, and if you don't, you go to prison.
And what about my mother?
I'm afraid you'd have to go to it, Mrs. Ray.
So you'd send an old lady to prison, would you?
She wouldn't have to go to prison if she kept the volume down.
Well, then she couldn't hear it. So she must either go to prison or go without her music. Is that it?
Look, I don't believe it's necessary to have it played as loud as you say. She only needs it as loud as that when she's in the kitchen or something. She could buy an extension speaker. That can be used in the kitchen. I've offered to give you one and you refuse.
All right. I saw a nice little stereo the other day. Cost about 30 guineas. If you give me the check, I'll buy it.
Well, I'm not prepared to do that any longer, my friend. I offered it to you the first time and you were very offensive about it. And now I'm not prepared to give it to you any longer. I should not be able to do that. I should also tell you that the cost of these proceedings will be very heavy. And you and your mother will have to pay them.
That's if you win.
Of course we shall win.
That's what you think.
I want to warn you that counsel we shall be employing will be none other than Mr. Kendall Grimes.
Who is he, a coal merchant?
What? Kendall Grimes, I would have you know, is one of the ablest counsel at the bar.
I never heard of him, and I wish I'd never heard of you either.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bunthorpe, I can't see any point in continuing this conversation. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Will he be around here at about 6 o'clock tomorrow afternoon?
I'm not sure. Why?
The record player will be repaired by then, and you'll be able to hear it again.
Look, why do you always play the same tune?
Because I want to get to know it as well as you're going to.
Come in.
Morning, Roger, darling.
Hello, Joy. How's everything going?
I think you'll be pleased. The brief's all ready for Mr. Grimes, and we've got an extra witness, the man who delivers the bread. And, Roger, I'll tell you another thing. You know Mr. Grimes won't charge any fee for doing it.
I know. It's terribly good of him.
Well, Uncle won't charge either.
Oh, that is kind. It really embarrasses me.
Don't be embarrassed, Roger. You can pay me instead. In kind.
Not after tea.
Then suppose we go for a drive down to that little hotel where we had dinner that time. By the river.
Oh, yes. I oughtn't to do that.
Why not? Don't you feel you've got an obligation towards Grimes?
Well, certainly I have, but how will taking you out to dinner discharge that obligation?
What about an obligation to Uncle Alfred?
Oh, yes, that's true.
And who's been acting as clerk to Uncle Alfred and going backwards and forwards from his office to your chambers?
Yes, I suppose I have an obligation towards you, too.
You wouldn't like to owe us all, Roger, surely?
Well, it put me in a very delicate position. I mean, I want to do the right thing.
Of course you do, Roger. But in this case, the right thing can be very nice.
Look, I tell you what. When we've won the case, I'll take you out to dinner to celebrate.
Oh, lovely, Roger. I can't wait for it.
Nor can I. The case, I mean. Now, if you've heard the way that chap spoke to me, I mean, he treated me like absolute dirt. I can't wait to hear Grimes cross-examining him. He'll make mincemeat of him. He'll be the same when the judge gives judgment. I can hear that just now. Radio is a great gift to mankind, but it can be greatly abused. Yes, that's it. However, I'm not going to let it be abused in the area for which this court is responsible. I warn this man that if he breaks my order, I shall have no hesitation in sending him to prison. As far as possible in this noisy age, people must be allowed to live in peace. Can't you hear him, John?
You could write the judgment for him, Roger.
I did think that was rather good.
That's the sort of thing you'll say when you're a judge.
Really? Mm. You know, I think I'll write it out, and then I can compare it with what the judge actually says. Yes. Hey, what sort of witness do you think this Baker will make?
Oh, he'll be fine. He's a New Zealander, as a matter of fact.
No.
He's 100% on your side. When I interviewed him on the first occasion, he said, I like a bit of music myself, but the noise from that house, you could hear it almost the whole length of the street. He'll be a fine witness.
Yeah. He may be a bit too prejudiced, you know. Which reminds me, I've never given evidence in a case before. I wonder what it feels like. Look, would you mind trying something? Look, would you like to try cross-examining me, Joy? See whether I can, you know, stand up to it. Right, now, okay, I'm ready. Now, what's your first question?
You do still love me, don't you, Roger?
No. That's got nothing to do with it. Ask about the case.
Say yes, and I will.
Well, save it when I take you out to dinner.
All right. Now, Mr. Thursby, I suggest to you that you're prejudiced.
Prejudiced? Certainly not.
You want your mother to win the case, don't you?
Of course I do.
Then why aren't you prejudiced in her favor?
Well, that's a good point, you know. You've got a point there. Ask me the question again.
Aren't you prejudiced, Mr. Thursby?
I want my mother to win the case, naturally. To that extent, I am prejudiced.
You don't like Mr. Bunthorpe, do you?
Yeah, now, I neither like nor dislike him. Oh, no. No, that won't do. So they'll then ask if he wasn't very offensive to me, and I'll have to say yes, won't I? And then I'll be asked if I like people who are offensive to me, and I'll have to say no. 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 Ask me that again.
You don't like Mr. Bunthorpe, do you, Mr. Thursby?
He may be a very nice man when he's not being offensive, but the only times I've met him, he's been extremely offensive to me. So it's fair to say that I dislike what I've seen of him. Oh, yes, that's much better. That's very good. I like that. Yes. The judge will be able to call me a frank and honest witness after that. Wouldn't you, Joy?
I'd call you anything you wanted me to, Roger. You know I would. No, that's
enough of that, please. Thank you for the rehearsal. Very useful. That's enough. I can't wait for next week to come. It'll be a piece of cake, a real piece of cake.
And then we'll enjoy the icing together afterwards.
Well, I must admit, you have earned it. Oh, Joy.
Mm. Oh, Roger. I can't wait for the icing, darling.
It's all going to be great fun. Do you know, Joy, I'm really rather glad they wouldn't turn that record player down. It'll be marvellous to win a case of one's own.
And even more marvellous afterwards.
I'm so glad you're back. I expect you know Mrs. Bunthorpe and her son, Mr. Bunthorpe, our next-door neighbours. We've been having such a pleasant little chat.
Mother!
I told them that silly case of ours was just you playing at soldiers. They got me to telephone Mr. Merivale to withdraw it, and Mr. Bunthorpe has been doing what he can to help us to understand good music. Very kind of you, Mr. Bunthorpe.
Not at all, Mrs. Thursby. It's an uphill job, but I've tried.
Roger, do look after our guest. Mr. Bunthorpe has nothing to eat. Do hand him something.
What? Oh, piece of cake, Mr. Bunthorpe.
In that episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Joy, Bridget Armstrong. Mrs. Thursby, Jean Anderson, Mr. Bunthorne, Robin Hunter, and the judge, Francis de Wolfe. A Piece of Cake was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by Trafford Whitelaw.
Thank you.